Chapter 6. Adjustments. I was jangled but way behind on sleep, despite the sweet nap with Paul. So I took a half pill and went zombie for about 8 hours. When I woke up, Paul was snoring upside down in a corner, naked. Zero-G can do funny things to a penis, but I decided his need for sleep trumped my curiosity. And he might be low on energy. I closed the door quietly and drifted toward the gym, where Moonboy was tumbling. It may have been weightlessness as much as the appearance of Spy that had shaken Moonboy out of his sullen isolation into impressive gymnastics. He's Paul's age, but was bouncing around like a kid. Well, not exactly like a kid. There was an element of grim determination in his constant motion, getting a maximum of exercise while honing his zero-G gymnastic skills. I had seen him studying Paul, then trying to duplicate the ways he got from place to place. He was never as graceful, but became almost as fast and accurate. Not a particularly useful life skill, unless he planned a midlife career as a laborer in orbit. But I was hoping all the jumping around was a kind of transition back to a normal life. Or normal, in quotation marks. Merrill was watching him from a distance as he practiced floor-to-ceiling, ceiling-to-floor rolls. I floated over to join her. "He's getting good," I said. "That he is." She didn't look at me. "Have you talked?" "Said hello." She took a breath and let it out. "What should I say to him? I mean, really?" "Welcome back." "I don't know that he is back. I'm not sure where he's been." There were beads of tears on her eyelashes. She rubbed her eyes and left wet spots on her cheeks. "Maybe you want to wait until the gravity comes back?"
"Maybe."
Our thighs touched, and she put a hand on my knee. "You're so lucky with Paul."
"Yes.
But Elsa will get him too, sooner or later."
Why did I say that?
She smiled. "Probably. She'll be fucking Spy before we get to the planet. A milestone for Homo sapiens."
"What's hard? One thing that's hard? Is not having a place for us to go back to. While he was shut away in his own box, I could handle that. But are we supposed to pretend that it's over now? He got it out of his system?"
"No, of course not. I think you have to get him to talk about it."
"Get him to talk about anything first. Then I could work it around to say, are you still crazy?"
"You can't. It's a pity you can't have Elsa mediate."
She smiled. A tight line. "She's the only one with a degree, but it wouldn't be a good idea."
"He might hit her again?"
"I might ask him to." She grinned.
"Just as therapy, for both of us."
I was feeling hungry and instinctively checked my wrist. The tattoo had showed the wrong time since we passed the orbit of Jupiter, but habits die hard.
"It's 8, Merrill said. "Had dinner?"
We put on slippers and walked, like grown-ups, to the kitchen. Microwaved packets of empanadas and supposedly Mexican vegetables. I went back to the middle of the garden and picked a sweet red pepper and chopped it up, feeling like Namir. Master zero-G chef, not losing a single piece of pepper or finger.
"I'd kill for a cup of coffee," she said. "Hot coffee."
The drink bags and squeeze bottles all had "Do not microwave" on them. So far, nobody had put that to the test. Better keep an eye on Moonboy.
"So, all he said is hello?"
"Some politenesses. He said he was better, and we could talk later."
"It is later, though, and he's..."
She laughed, a little snort.
"He's graduated from village idiot to whirling dervish."
She opened the seam on her vegetables a bit and squirted in some hot sauce. She held it out to me, but I declined, knowing its potentiating effect. If I could hold off shitting until we had gravity, I would be a much happier space tourist, and I probably wasn't alone. You can get used to those things, but you can also get unused to them. I had a sudden flashback of the day we'd learned to go in, or into, a zero-G toilet, with its helpful little eye in the bowl. Not a part of myself I'd ever expected to observe in action. Gravity might help him, repeating myself. Or it might put him back in his cocoon. She was using chopsticks, and they worked better than my spoon, which tended to launch bits of food into my face or beyond. There would be some cleaning up when we restarted. After we began eating, the object of our discussion headed our way, perhaps having heard the Pavlovian microwave bell. He bounced from the recycler wall to the bean trellis, off the side of the Martian quarters, and through both lounges, arriving at a reasonable speed, surrounded by a nimbus of male sweat, not too unpleasant. Mexican! He went to the fridge and started to rummage. In the pantry, Merrill said, under E for empanadas. Sí, sí, muchas gracias. He found the packet and put it in the microwave and floated in front of it upside down. I'm not interrupting? Just getting a bite, she said. But you can't eat with us unless your feet are in the right direction. Comprendo. When the food was ready, he brought it over with a slow reverse roll. We were eating at the table, even though there was no reason to actually set the food down on it. He sprayed the hot sauce into the packet and speared the empanadas with a fork, more efficient than either of us. Without preamble, he said, "Have you thought about Spy not being what he claims to be?" That was not a big stretch. In what way? Maybe he's not an alien at all, hmm? Maybe he's always been here, waiting for turnaround. To test us. Who? Merrill said. Who's testing us? Earth. Testing our loyalty. That sounded bizarre enough. I don't get it. How could anybody be disloyal? Be in the pay of the others? Merrill offered. Well, you know, not pay. No, I don't know. What? He finished chewing, swallowed, and set his food packet floating just over the table. He folded his hands over his chest. I'll spell it out. I'm all ears, she said. First, how possible is it that they could chase us 11 light years, constantly accelerating, and wind up right here at the exact right time, with no evidence of having used any fuel, without our detecting them? We did detect something, I thought. Paul had mentioned an anomaly in the proximity circuits, but I let it be. How much more likely is it that they've been here all along? That the supposed alien was already installed before we got to the iceberg? Tell me it couldn't be done. Okay, she said. It couldn't be done. Even if it could, why would they bother? Like I say, to test our loyalty. That's... She didn't say crazy. That makes no sense. It seems awfully elaborate, I said. They built this alien-looking spaceship, and Spy, and a convincing other, and kept them hidden for years, to trot them out at turnaround, to see how we react? You've got it. That's it, exactly. Moon Boy? Merrill's voice quavered. Where did they hide them for 3 years? I persisted. Out in plain sight. No one's gone out to look till now. But Paul can look outside any time he wants, or anyone who goes into the control room. Oh, Carmen, don't be naive. It's not like looking out a window. Paul sees an electronic image that's supposed to match what's out there. They could fix it so he wouldn't see the ship until the time was right. And they do all that just to check our loyalty? Who is this they, anyhow? Earth! He was suddenly even more intense. They never have trusted the four of us for Mars. They chose us for this, Merrill said. And sent along 3 spies. He glared at Merrill, then at me. Could it be more plain? I stared right back. Something's pretty plain. Three spies. One seduces me and tries to play with my head, my memories of childhood. One attacks me physically, unprovoked. The third has worked himself into a position of authority from which he can poison your minds against me. Is any of that not true?
Listen to me.
I took his hand in both of mine.
Elsa tries to seduce everybody. That's her nature. Dustin hit you because you fucked his wife, then broke her nose. Namir is a career diplomat and a natural leader, and I don't think he's ever tried to influence my opinion of you.
Considering that you also fucked his wife, Meryl said, and broke her nose, I'd say he's been a model of objectivity.
He jerked his hand away.
You've both bought it. Bought the whole thing, or you're in on it, too.
He kicked away from the table so hard he hit his head on the ceiling with a thump. He drifted back to the fridge and kicked off from it to drift away over the crops. After a bit, Meryl picked up his lunch.
Want some of this?
Too much hot sauce.
She nodded but reached into it with her chopsticks.
Guess you can get used to anything.